So it is June already, almost halfway through this year of talking about what the Bible really says about. Now, those of you who are using the worship guide, we're moving to a new sermon series today, and that would be on page 29. Those of you who are using the worship guide, if you're new here today and need a worship guide, I think we still have a few out there, and you could raise a hand if you need a worship guide. There's a page for each day, each Sunday, and helps you take notes on what we're talking about. So today we begin a new series on words to think about. So this is what the Bible really says about some of these things that fly through our heads. Oh, what does the Bible say about... And today we're going to talk about greed. Such a happy subject. And an ever-present thing with us, right? The Bible has a lot to say about this. So we're going to hear two passages today. The first one is from Colossians. Listen closely to what this passage says about greed. And then we're going to hear a story that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. Also, pay attention, and then I'll be sharing some words about this in the message in a few minutes.
So I'll be reading from Colossians 3, 1 through 7. In the Common English Bible, you'll find the words on the screen. Therefore, if you were raised with Christ, look for the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at God's right side. Think about the things above and not the things on earth. You died and your life hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So put to death the parts of your life that belong to the earth, such as sexual immorality, moral corruption, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. The wrath of God is coming upon disobedient people because of these things. You used to live this way when you were all alive to these things. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge to referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop, and he said to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all of my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty for years. So take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool. Tonight you will die. Now who will get the things that you have prepared for yourself?' This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich towards God." These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. We breathe, O God, and we know that every breath is a gift from you. And so we say thank you. We say thank you for bringing us here, for life and breath and health and strength, and for the freedom to gather in your name. Open our hearts to hear your word. Amen. So sometimes people think the Bible says things that it doesn't say. And over the next few weeks, as part of what the Bible really says about, we're going to touch on a few of these, what the Bible doesn't say. For example, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. That passage comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, which says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have wandered away from the faith and have impaled themselves with a lot of pain because they made money their goal. But as for you, people of God, run away from these things and instead pursue some other things. That's where it comes from. Here's what the Bible really says about greed. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded about, some of you are going to remember this movie. Back in 1987, it was the movie Wall Street that Michael Douglas played Gordon Gekko. And there's some famous lines in that. He says, the point is, this is what Michael Douglas, Gordon Gekko, says in the movie. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies. Greed cuts through and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, for knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. Those are the famous words from Wall Street. Well, you know what? Everything in the Bible speaks the opposite of that. The Old Testament prophets rail against the people for two things. Those of you who are in Disciple 3, you remember this. The Old Testament prophets say you should not follow idols, including accumulating things only for oneself. That's what the prophets say. And the prophets also rail against failing to care for the poor. Those two things, according to the prophets, are what lead to the destruction of the people of Israel, to their exile, to their being overtaken and exiled, and the destruction of their temple. Failure to care for the poor and greed. That's what led to that, according to the prophets. Well, Jesus has even more to say, but we're going to stop for just a minute and talk about what greed is. So if you look at like a regular dictionary, and look at what is greed. It says it's the excessive desire to acquire or possess more than one needs or desires. Or deserves. The excessive desire to acquire or possess more than one needs or deserves. The problem with that is that that's a very relative kind of definition. Who decides what's needed and when someone or we have more than enough? Fortunately, we have a better source than the dictionary to help us understand about greed. The Bible has a lot to say about greed, and its definition is different from that one used mostly in our culture today. The Greek word pleonexia is the Greek word that's used both in the Colossians passage and by Jesus in the Luke 12 passage, and it means something like this. The ruthless self-seeking and an arrogant assumption that others and things exist for one's own benefit. Or another way of saying it is the insatiable desire to have what rightfully belongs to others. Okay, kind of let that sink in for a second. The insatiable desire to have what rightfully belongs to others. That's what the word in Greek that's used in the scripture means. You see, there's an important thread that runs through the biblical definitions that's missing from the Webster's dictionary definition. It is the idea that greed fosters the taking of something that's not rightfully ours. Our culture's kind of relative definition of greed doesn't take that into account. So we as Christians are called to a much higher standard than what Webster's dictionary defines as greed. Through the scripture, we've been given a different kind of moral code, which we've been called to live by in all areas of our lives. So that takes us back to what Jesus has to say. Jesus has been talking to a crowd, and then to his disciples, and then somebody from the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." And Jesus says, "You know, I'm really not concerned about the family feud. But here's the deal." Then he says, "Watch out and guard yourself against all kinds of greed, because one's life is not determined by one's possessions, even when you're very wealthy." Then he tells him this story. He says, "A rich man's land produced this bountiful crop, and the man said to himself, 'What will I do? I have no place to store my stuff. So I'm going to go down and I'm going to get an extra storage unit. The biggest one I can find. In fact, I might buy the storage facility.'" And there is this moment of decision for the man of what to do. And then he says, "Well, here's what I'll do. I'll just build a bigger barn. I will go buy the storage facility. That's where I'll store my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, you have so much now. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself." Nothing wrong with eating and drinking and enjoying oneself, right? Unless it's at the expense of someone else. Jesus' words. "Now, guess what? Tonight, you're going to die. What are you going to do with that storage unit now?" In Proverbs, it says, "Such is the end for all who are greedy for gain. It takes away," this is so interesting, "it takes away the life of the possessors." That's what Proverbs 1:19 says. Jesus says, "This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God." Remember the Great Recession of 2008 and beyond? It's not such a dim memory for us, is it? Remember how the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis led to that, along with banks too big to fail, and a word that has stuck with me since that time, untrammeled greed. Okay? You can write that down if you're writing things down in your worship guide. Remember that? Remember the cost of that to people all over our country and beyond? You know, I think that we get greedy about all kinds of things. If we think of greed as the insatiable desire to have what rightfully belongs to others, we get greedy. I get greedy. I will own this. I get greedy about all kinds of things. Maybe we get greedy about money. Maybe we get greedy about other stuff. People have a house or a boat or, you know, whatever it is. We get greedy about those things. We get greedy about food. You think about that. We get greedy about food. We get greedy about experiences. Why did they get to go and do that? And I don't get to go do that. I want to do that. We get greedy about people. I want to possess this person or this relationship. I want to have it. We get greedy about attention. I want them to pay more attention to me than to anyone else. We get greedy about the constant need to be better than another at whatever you fill in the blank. A constant need to be better than another. We get greedy about power. Having our own way at the expense of others. You see, something happens inside of us, inside of me. Something happens inside of us. Why do we get so greedy? Well, some people would stand up here and they would tell you one three-letter word for this. sin. But I'm going to say a little more. Why do we get so greedy? I think we get afraid. We get afraid of not having enough. We get afraid of others having more than us. We get afraid, fill in the blank. We get afraid. We get so fearful. And we end up relying on ourselves rather than on God. At its heart, greed is about looking for the world, whatever it is, to fill the places in our lives where God rightfully belongs. At its heart, greed is about looking for the world to fill the places in our lives where God rightfully belongs, where we need God to be. Our sinful selves look for other things when God wants to be there to bring us contentment and fulfillment and meaning and peace and joy. God says, don't be afraid. Rely on me. Have all, I will give you all that you need. So what if we listened to God and we turned greed upside down and all around? What if we did that? What if we took a snow globe and we shook it up and we looked at greed from a turnaround kind of way? From the insatiable desire to have what rightly belongs to others to an insatiable generosity of giving and offering what God has given to us. What if we sold the storage unit, emptied it out, gave it away to people who needed it, offering what God has given to us, our time, our talents, our resources? It's not just about money here, is it? No, it's not just about money. It's about our time and our talents, too. All of our resources, all that God has given to us. What if we had an insatiable desire to give to others what God has given to us? Life and love and generosity and joy. And in a way, we became greedy for giving, for giving. Giving oneself and maybe even one's things. What if? There was a man who came to see me recently, and I wrote a little bit about this in the Friday weekly email, but I want to tell you a little bit more of the story, and I'm going to finish with this today. So we have plenty of time for communion today. A man came to see me, and he knows that I'm telling this story, by the way. Recently, this man who is new to Tucson and our church came to see me, and he said, "My wife and I had everything. The big house, lots of furniture and two cars and a motorhome. We had it all. She liked all the things that we had and the life that we had." I'm actually reading this to you because I wrote it down as soon as he finished talking to me. "She liked all the things we had and the life we had, but what was different between us was that I loved all the stuff. And she enjoyed it, but wasn't attached to it." You got that? Got it so far? "I learned so much from her," he said. "She was the one who insisted that we always tithe, give 10% of our income to our church. No debate about 2% here, 2% here, 2%. Was it net or gross? No. She just said, we're giving 10% of what we earn to the church. She was the one who insisted on that, and she found ways for us to serve in the church. We even went on some mission trips because she wanted to. She had such a generous spirit," he said. "Then she got sick, and so we began to get rid of things like the big house and the motorhome. It was sad, but it was freeing in a way. We just spent time together. with each other and with our family and friends, she gave so generously of herself. After she died, he said, I let go of a lot more. And now that I've moved here to live near my kids, I've got even less. I can't say that I'm totally happy because I miss my wife so much, but I don't miss very much of the stuff. Once in a while, he said, this is kind of funny because most of us can relate to this. Once in a while, he said, I wish I hadn't gotten rid of such and such. Now I'm trying to be generous as she taught me to be, accepting others, sharing my resources and my time, and seeking justice for those who hurt. Now I have so much more to give, he said. All this, he said, this is the last line, all this, he said, is because one day I realized that the only things I can take with me are contentment with how I've lived and a lifetime of spectacular memories. Thanks be to God. Amen.